someone, shop all at the JCPenney Friends and Family Sale. Through Wednesday, use your 30% off coupon inside the JCP app and shine on with up to 60% off diamond solitaires and studs. Plus, get carried away with up to 70% off luggage from Samsonite, American Tourister, Skyway, and more. Anyone shops, everyone saves. We got your holiday. JCPenney. Offers valid on select items through 12/7. Offers reflect after coupon savings. Exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And we're going to go back and finish that clip off we did yesterday. And then after we're finished, I'll win my argument with Courageous Craig. Be right back with more. Take it away. No, okay, I'll finish the argument right now. Watch, you'll break in. Okay, folks, Trump got elected in 2016. He took office in January 2017. By 2019, he was pushing this vaccine he had, which, and I understand why he was doing that. That weren't really vaccines. They weren't. They brought them out. They were experimental, okay? And the reason that they were bringing these vaccines out, because this COVID was already spreading. And here we had people here who were getting COVID. They were telling you the cases. They showed how many people here. And we knew what it was all about, because we had frontline doctors coming out and saying, hey, listen, don't buy any of this stuff. We had the people who were talking about these so-called vaccines were not vaccines. They were bioweapons. They were invented, you know, as weapons. And so we were doing all of that back in 2019. Okay, and here is the clip. We'll be back after this. Okay, are you there? Uh-oh, is it working or not?
Basic training in 30 days. Any takers? $10,000. And they're still having trouble getting people. The Air Force and the Navy have been handing out their own unprecedented bonuses. They're competing against each other to offer money, and they're all having basic problems with recruitment. This is, of course, because the military has become woke, because it's fundamentally alienating. And it's not hard to figure out how this works. You may have seen this poll earlier this year. Americans were asked how many of them would stay and fight for this country if America were invaded. 68% of Republicans said they would stay and fight. Only 40% of Democrats said they would stay and fight. Now, the Democrats are running the military, yet only 40% of them would actually stay and fight for this country. 61% of white people, 57% of Hispanics, and only 38% of black people said they would stay and fight. So when the military is trying to reimagine itself along the lines of diversity and becoming left-wing, it is driving out the people who actually want to fight for this country and replacing them with the people who don't want to fight for this country. The Biden administration caused the worst military recruiting crisis in a generation, and it goes to the Supreme Court and says, well, we have to continue doubling down on this, and we have to actually force colleges to continue this racially discriminating because it's a national security issue. Now, guess what? Everything is now a national security issue. Global warming? Of course it's a national security issue. Climate change is an existential threat to our nation's security, and the Department of Defense must act swiftly and boldly to take on this challenge, Secretary of Defense Austin stated. Remember when Al Gore was saying we should declare war on global warming and people laughed at him? This is now the official policy of the United States military, which is good news, because when we drop our nukes, we're going to recycle them afterward. Abortion, what do you think? Is abortion a national security issue? Abortion? Is that a national security issue? Of course. So, you know, RAND, which, of course, every good leftist hated in the 60s and 70s before taking it over, the RAND think tank put out a paper for the Defense Department, which said how the Dobbs decision could affect national security, and warns that the inability of female service members to promptly kill their babies would lead to higher health care, child care, and education costs for the military. So you've got to kill the babies to make sure that we've got full military readiness. Because women play an integral role in the U.S. military, a threat to their health and well-being is a potential threat to our national security. And of course, we can again sneer at this, but the bottom line is what they're asserting is that protecting abortion is a national security issue. It means courts are going to defer to this, and of course, it means that they can treat people who are anti-abortion as national security threats. Are you opposed to environmentalism? Are you opposed to abortion? You are a threat to national security. That's what this means. Now, what about the transgender sexual mutilation of kids? Can anybody in their right mind suggest that transgender mutilation of kids, that grooming and abusing and destroying kids is a matter of national security?
No.
Of course. Gina Ortiz Jones, the Undersecretary of the Air Force and the first half-Asian lesbian woman of color in this world, I'm sure the first of many, she's breaking glass ceilings over there, threatened Texas, which actually was one of the first states to impose restrictions on mutilating kids, that the health care and resilience of our personnel and their families is our top priority. It's essential to our ability to accomplish this mission. We are closely tracking state laws and legislation to ensure we prepare for and provide legal resources to those families that are affected. You've got the Undersecretary of the Air Force threatening state legislators, completely wildly unacceptable, and warning that if you pass laws preventing the sexual mutilation of kids, the Air Force is going to come after you. Because is it a national security issue? It is essential to our mission that kids be mutilated. It's essential to our mission. Now, the mission at this point is not winning wars. It's not defeating China. It's not beating Iran. The mission is climate change. It's global warming. It's sexually mutilating kids. It's abortion. It's affirmative action. It's every leftist identity politics issue. And that mission, of course, is a betrayal of this country. It is a betrayal of the oath that so many of these people took to serve in the military in the first place. The left obviously does not want a military that will actually go to war against foreign countries and defeat them. We have profoundly unserious leaders. I recently saw an interview with an ISIS captive who discussed how the terrorists fed her own 1-year-old son. We've seen what China has done with zero COVID. Iran recently voted to execute as many as 50,000 of the people involved in the women's rights protests. Russians have taken horrendous casualties in Ukraine, and they are still fighting. They have serious leaders. They are dedicated to winning at any cost. We are not. The world saw that in Afghanistan. It's seen that elsewhere. We are not actually ready to walk the distance. And so instead, the military is focusing on wokeness because that is so easy. And they like this idea. They like the idea of gutting the military and wearing its carcass. The military has a lot of cachet. Even the most anti-military leftists, when the opportunity arises, will adopt the military cachet. Anybody remember, I'm John Kerry and I'm reporting for duty. The same guy was throwing his medals over the White House fence, whether that happened or not, was of course, no, he's a patriot and a hero. Of course, they now have a lot of other patriots and heroes, like a guy named Rick Levine from Pennsylvania. He is the biggest embarrassment to the state not named John Fetterman, and actually argue it's a close race. Now, one day, Dr. Rick Levine decided that he was going to be a woman, and he changed his name to Rachel. And then Biden decided that Admiral Rachel Levine should be a 4-star admiral. He had no military experience whatsoever. He had never been in the Navy. I'm not sure he was even on the cruise. Maybe he was on the cruise. But Biden decided to take this guy and make him a 4-star admiral. Now, say whatever you will about John Kerry, he was at least actually in Vietnam. The Biden administration is taking guys who wear dresses and wigs and turning them into 4-star admirals. So when we talk about the corruption of the military brass, we are dealing with people who are not in any way remotely connected to the military tradition of service, who have never put their lives on the line, who have never even done the Buttigieg thing necessarily, where they're driving around occasionally so they can score points so they can run for public office. We are talking about people whose big achievement in the case of Admiral Rachel Levine was being named Woman of the Year by USA Today. It's a baby, you've come a long way. Now, here are some of the things that Democrats have been describing as national security issues. Racism is a national security issue. Sexism is a national security issue. Income inequality is a national security issue. When the Democrats put forward their For the People Act to federalize elections to make sure they could never lose an election again, how do they describe it? Democratic reform and voting rights in the United States is a national security issue. Basically, every single thing they want to do is a national security issue. Anybody who opposes them is a national security threat, as we've seen with Russiagate and so many other things since. Because when you declare something a national security issue, suddenly you have a lot of tools for dealing with it and dealing with the people involved in opposing it. Disinformation on social media, which the Democrats say is anybody disagreeing with them, that is, of course, a national security issue. It's been described as officially a threat to the Department of Defense's national security mission. If you post something they don't like, you are a threat to the mission of the Department of Defense. Now, to make this work, obviously, the left needed to take over the military, which they are very steadily doing. And they want to turn into a platform for their agendas. Reason number one, we discussed. They want to make everything into a national security issue. Reason number two, of course, is if they control the military, it cannot be used against them. When the Black Lives Matter mobs were besieging the White House, they had set the Church of Presidents on fire, they were attacking the White House gatehouse. None of that's discussed in the media. President Trump asked General Milley to actually help and protect the United States from a domestic insurrection, and Milley said, no, 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 of course not. Reason number three, of course, matches number two, which is that they want to have the option of using the military against us. Now, to do that, they have to clear out so many of the conservatives from the military, which takes us to reason number four, which is that the military is primarily a conservative institution. It's the only remaining institution in the federal government that is sizable and that is primarily conservative. So they need to clear it out, and they're doing it with various ways: vaccine mandates, hunt for extremists, pushing identity politics. All this is calculated to have two effects. One of them is to recruit the leftists, and the other two is to push out conservatives. Now, under the Biden administration's definition of extremism, if you like the wrong Facebook post and you're a member of the military, you can be classified as an extremist who does not belong in the military. If you donate to a church that, for example, disagrees with gay marriage, you are now a dangerous extremist who can be forced to leave the military. This is what's going on here. And this is what David Horowitz's Freedom Center has been tracking. We've taken a leadership role on this, because we believe that the military is vital, not just to our national security, but to our national identity, to our fabric of our nation. Now, I mentioned Veterans Day and the recruiting crisis earlier. With a volunteer military, so many of those who serve are a link in the chain that goes back to Valley Forge, that goes back to Gettysburg, that goes back to Normandy. What some people who are civilians don't realize is that so many of the service members come from military families. They come back to people who were there at the Revolutionary War, at the Civil War, at World War II. They sent their children and their grandchildren and so on and so forth, generation after generation, to put their lives on the line for this country. It's been an incredible chain of tradition, and it is part of the great secret to our success in wartime operations. And yet, this is a chain that is being broken. So many of the military families I've spoken to have told me they are telling their kids not to serve. And once that chain is broken, it is going to be very, very hard to repair. And that is a huge tragedy. It is going to undermine our country, whatever happens, for generations to come. That is why we think it is so vitally important. The left right now wants to declare war on global warming, on anybody who's opposed to abortion and disinformation. What they're really saying is they want to declare a war on us. And to do that, they have to be able to take over the military. They have to be able to drive conservatives out of the military. They have to be able to tell those kids not to even bother showing up. The Citadel, which went very woke, for example, its recruitment dropped 25%. This is happening in military academies and service branch academies across the country, unfortunately. The left is eliminating our military at the source. And this is what the left is doing, as it's done to so many institutions. What effect is this having on the military? The Heritage Review ranked the Army now as weak. It ranked the Air Force and the Navy as very weak. It's warned that there is little doubt that it would struggle in a war against a peer competitor. That means like Russia or China. It warned that it is a significant risk of not being able to meet a single major regional conflict. Now, just the thing you want to hear when we're facing off with China and Russian planes are buzzing us in Alaska. China now has more warships than we do. We recently held war games which played out the scenario where China invades Taiwan. You know, Biden is talking about, well, of course we're going to defend Taiwan. We're going to defend Taiwan. How is that actually played out in military war games? Every time we do this in military war games, the United States loses. And what gets even worse is that the former Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy warned that not only are we losing to China, not only are we continuing to lose to China, we are losing faster. In each war game, we are losing to China even faster. Not only are we not getting better in this woke military, we are getting worse. And how bad is this scenario? They project something that makes Pearl Harbor look like a walk in the park. They show the Chinese taking out our aircraft carriers, sinking our ships, destroying our planes before they can even take off, smashing our bases, and cutting off our forces electronically so that we're in the dark. Now, this is what the Space Force was actually meant to be doing. That's why we spun off the Space Force. What is the Space Force actually doing now? Well, their reading list includes a book about white rage. That's the mission now. That is the mission. We are not ready for a serious war because we don't have serious leadership, either political or military. Our military has been rotted through. It's headed by political generals, cocktail party admirals, and aspiring consultants for defense contractors. When World War II came in, one of the important things that we did, anybody who is interested in history and military history knows, they took the political generals and they kicked them out. They took out the people who were blocking the adoption of Air Force doctrines and military doctrines, and that allowed us to take on Nazi Germany and win. If we had been stuck with the political generals, we would have lost. And this is in the past what we used to do in wars. We had the political generals who were very good at schmoozing politicians, and when war came, we brought in the people who knew how to fight. After September 11th, we never brought in the people who knew how to fight. That is the great tragedy. So many of them remained colonels, so many of them remained lieutenant colonels. They never moved up through the ranks. What we have are political generals. And so these political generals, they know that we're going to lose. General Milley knows that we're going to lose. That's why he was on the phone with China promising, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. Is this what you do when you're arguing, when you're operating from a position of strength? Do you tell China, don't worry, we're not doing anything. Everything's okay. Remember Ronald Reagan's, the bombs are going to fall? That is how you intimidate an enemy. That is how you tell them we are not afraid of you. General Milley was communicating to China, we are afraid of you. And China knows that we're afraid of them. They know that we keep losing war games to them. So General Milley expects us to lose a war. And so they're not talking about how to win a war. They're talking about how we need diversity, how we need critical race theory, how we need abortion, and how we need Admiral Rachel Levine doing the can-can to inspire the morale of the troops. The woke brass claims that the military isn't up to spec because we don't focus enough on identity politics. Joe Reeder, Bill Clinton's Army Undersecretary, who is white, by the way, claimed that if a young black soldier can't look up there and see a Colin Powell in his ranks, he's not even going to want to fight. That would have come as news to Medal of Honor recipient Webster Anderson, who after taking two Viet Cong grenades that blew off his legs, propped himself up on the parapet and continued to direct howitzer fire upon the closing enemy and to encourage his men to fight on. Another grenade came at him. He tried to grab the grenade and throw it back. It exploded, taking out much of his hand. And even though only partially conscious and severely wounded, he refused medical evacuation and continued to encourage his men. Webster Anderson was black, but so many Medal of Honor winners, so many of our veterans come from all races and backgrounds. The military was a place that transcended identity politics. It was the essence of America. It was a place that said, we are all Americans. We are all on the same team. Whatever our race, whatever our creed, we have each other's back. This was the paradigm of the military. The military helped reshape and transform America. It helped make a diverse and tolerant America. And yet this is what they are now trying to destroy. They're turning the military into the embodiment of the opposite, into a place based on racial division, on division by your skin color, by your gender, by whether you pretend to be another gender. They are using the military to divide America because that is their strategy. And the David Horowitz Freedom Center is fighting back. We're continuing to expose this in our pamphlets, in our articles. And we are working with local patriots, with veterans organizations. We are working with the alumni of military academies. And we're talking to legislators to tell them what they can do about this. There are men who risk their lives on the battlefield of Vietnam and Afghanistan, who are fighting a war at home against an enemy within that has now taken the high ground in the Army, in the Navy, in the Air Force, even unfortunately in the Marine Corps. They're not about to give up, and we're not giving up either. We're going to fight the woke coup against our military before it destroys us all, and we're going to fight every battle that needs to be fighting. We're going to follow in the footsteps of David Horowitz, who led the way on this. And though David Horowitz can't be with us, he is still leading us. He is guiding us. Everything that we do comes from the direction that David Horowitz is giving us. There's not a day when I'm not on the phone with David Horowitz when he says, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need to be fighting this. Why are we not doing this? In this war, David Horowitz is our general. The pamphlets you're seeing, the books that you're seeing, they're just partial evidence of that. David Horowitz has an incredible visionary mind. He is a warrior. He is our general. Thank you for supporting our fight. Thank you for supporting his fight.
All righty, we are back. And do you know, Joe, what we've been telling people for the longest time about, again, the Biden crime family is owned by the Chinese. They're owned by the Chinese. We've been telling people now, even before Biden took office, when you saw this election, so-called election in 2021, where here Donald Trump was out, he was drawing crowds of 50,000, 60,000. He was having Trump trains that were you know, one Trump train there, I believe it was Arizona, if I remember right, was like 90 miles long. Thousands, these huge crowds coming out, huge crowds. America was coming back. America, again, the economy was getting, was going to get better. I mean, everything, the economy was better. I mean, it was, we were energy independent for the first time. In a long time, America was energy independent. We weren't depending upon anything. Everything was looking better. The economy, he was, pro-life legislation was being passed. And then here, remember what they when they tried, and they failed in 2016. They came right out openly and said that they weren't going to fail again, that they were going to use Facebook. They were going to be able to use big tech to throw the elections, okay? And so, and that's what they did. The big tech spent millions and millions, and you had all of these corrupt Dominion and all of this. Corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. Now, little by little, it's all coming out. It's all coming out little by little now. And if we get that case before the Supreme Court, if they, the court hears that case with those three brothers, then we're going to prove everything that we know. We know for an absolute fact there that that January 6th thing was a setup. We knew for a fact that Mike Pence had every bit of the authority. All he could have said is, look, there's a lot of evidence out there. It appears that there was election fraud, which, I mean, how dumb do you have to be? Joe, how dumb do you have to be to see people, Trump turning on crowds of 50, 60,000 people, and to see Joe Biden hiding in a basement turning out crowds of a dozen people? How
right.
dumb.
And I saw the one where he had some cars and there were less than 300 people at a rally versus 35, 38, 40,000. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but the lies continue. You remember when they are going to hire 87,000 new IRS agents? They're going to go after the 1%, right? They're going to go after the very rich. Well, here's the truth. We now know what they're up to. The government used to force phone apps like PayPal and things to report $20,000 transactions. So they keep changing it. Now they have set it down where $600 is the minimum. They will start having to report any transaction over $600. And this is what the 87,000 IRS agents are going to be doing. You see, people might sell a sofa. They might sell an old refrigerator. They bought a new one. They have an old one still working. They sell it. And, you know, they make, you know, maybe $400. Well, they're trying to catch people that are making any kind of money, you know, selling a little firewood on the side, selling some furniture, anything. So they've made it down to $600 is now going to have to be reported. Now, think about this. The military, we had a report, the military has lost the past couple of years $2.2 trillion lost. Is the IRS going to help look for any of that money, see where it went? No. The COVID story, remember the COVID relief? I've got three different stories. They have different amounts. One report says there was almost $357 billion out of the $873 billion in the, remember the pandemic job loss money, that was stolen or misplaced. They claim that half of that $357 billion was taken by international fraud. Is the IRS going to look for them? No. You know who stole the rest of it? They found out federal workers, TSA, DHS, IRS, state workers, were the ones who stole the majority of that rest of the pandemic funds that the international thieves and fraudsters didn't get. New York City alone lost $11 billion in their unemployment fraud the first year it was out. So here we have all kinds of corruption, fraud, people taking money in the federal government, state governments. And who's the IRS going to start coming after? You, middle America, any transaction of $600 or more on your phone apps. I guess there's several. I don't use any of them. The only one I'm familiar is PayPal, but I guess there's two or three others a lot of people use to pay bills, transfer money, make small sales. So here we are. Again, the government lied. They're now coming after you. They want to destroy the middle class. They're not going to go after the billionaires that have all the attorneys and the accountants. They're coming after you. And when you finally get mad enough, upset enough, then maybe we'll quit putting people like Warnock in office.
Well, you know, again, that's the point. They want to first eliminate the middle class altogether. They want it, what communists wants, communism has the very wealthy, the top 2%, the very wealthy, and then the proletariat, the rest
the
of the people.
The ones will supply their services, that will make sure they get their food and they get their wine and they get their vacations, will make sure they have a fancy motel to go to, airplanes to fly around in, will fix their motors and their cars, right? They need us, but they want to be able to control us completely, right?
Well, you know, like Stalin promised, you will have equality. So everybody was equally destitute, is what he's referring to,
yeah.
And that's
equal
the point.
With poverty.
Yeah, and that's the same. Again, Joe Biden is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese, and so is Milley, and so is Austin. Milley and Austin are not on our sides. They're there to destroy our military, to weaken our military. And again, I was watching, I told you before, I was watching, I'm trying to think, it was a Fox News, I believe it was, that had the training films that showed how for China recruiting, these are recruiting films, they showed these guys who were warriors, I mean, and the same thing with Russia. And then when it came to America, it was Milley with his, he had his lesbians out there, he had lesbians, and what does Milley do? Well, maybe Milley wants to send some drag queens out. Unbelievable what has been.
For the troops, right.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes you wonder about Mr. Milley and Mr. Austin. It makes you wonder if they wear a dress on their own time, you know? You just wonder.
See, there's one point I want to differ with you. They're only half owned by the Chinese. The other half is the global warming movement, the green energy movement, the Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum.
Just recently, Klaus Schwab and George Soros sat down and they were saying how they have decided America has to be reduced back to third world. China must become, the Klaus Schwab and George Soros has decided this, along with Gates, that China is going to become the world's next world superpower, and it's going to happen through the decline of America, which they're causing, and they're using the Democratic Communist Collective to do that.
And here's the big lie. Remember the global warming? All this started with global warming. If the government doesn't do something, we'll all die. This year, the amount of snow cover in the Northern Hemisphere is the highest that it has been since measurements began back in 1967. Yes, NOAA and the Rutgers University, new data. Snow cover across the Northern Hemisphere, highest level ever. Now, we know there's a problem here. According to severe weather, Europe, extensive snow extent early in the season is an indicator of persistent cold as we head into the winter. In other words, we have never seen this much snow, and we know that winter is still 2 weeks away. So if we've already broken all the records, we have not even started the winter season. So, folks, it's going to be one very cold global warming winter.
Not only that, Joe, we're going to go to a break, but also the CEOs of the big oil companies are warning that you're going to see a surge in fuel prices, too.
You're going to go way up. Well, he's drained the National Reserve to keep the prices of gas and oil, diesel down as much as he can. Now we got to refill it at high prices. Yeah, the only thing that can happen is energy is going to go up, up, and up.
We'll be back right after this one more.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee.
We are back. I just wanted to say 42 Biden administration officials are put on notice by the House Republicans. They were sent about 2 weeks ago letters by the Republicans in the House Judiciary Committee requesting testimony from a variety of White House officials. These letters primarily deal with a suspected politicization of the FBI and the Department of Justice investigations into U.S. border security and President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. And so, a recent letter by Jim Jordan, Ohio, to the White House Chief of Staff, Klein, requests testimony from Biden administrative staffers regarding or relating to alleged misuse of federal criminal and counterterrorism resources to target concerned parents at school board meetings. Interviews from White House officials were requested. It goes on. You know, this is why it was so important that we win that Senate seat, Joe, because if we'd won that, they'd have the committees, and we could have got them through the House into the Senate. And now it's going to be very, very difficult to do that because
right.
We're going to get
impossible.
It'll die as soon as it hits that, even though we got a few, unless we...
The Democrats will be in charge of the committees because they have the majority. That's how it
yep.
works. So they run the committees. The head of the committee decides what they investigate, what they don't. But you, just a few minutes before the break, you were talking about Soros and Klaus Schwab meeting. Well, there's a big story out there that's not getting any attention. I say it's a big story. It should be, but it's not. There's a group, a White House group, has been backed by George Soros, is waging a war behind the scenes on your gasoline, on your energy. The Governing for Impact, the GFI, is a secretive George Soros-funded group who has been advising the Biden administration, issuing memos to policymakers on how to curb gasoline usage, how to stop permits, do all kinds of things. They are arguing that the government can use the Clean Air Act to provide the Environmental Protection Agency with the authority, get this, the authority to control or prohibit the commercial sale of any motor vehicle fuel. They argue that the this was assembled with the climate group Evergreen Collaborative working with them, that the agency, the EPA, could force gas stations to build electric vehicle charging stations on their property, and that if the they could use government regulations to control or the manufacture or sale of motor vehicle fuel or additives if they think the emissions endanger public health, blah, 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 and they got a whole list of things. But anyway, they're behind the scenes working to advise the president on how to use executive orders and presidential directives. They're going to different government agencies and showing them how to use the power of their agency, the rules and regulations against us. And George Soros nonprofits have provided millions, they're not sure yet, they're still trying to figure out, millions of dollars to GFI and its Action Fund. So we have a government with a shadow government telling them what to do, how to do it. George Soros is providing this group, Governing for Impact, with millions and millions of dollars, and it's a fairly new organization out of the, I think, what is it, almost 300 organizations he controls. So you know, now we know who controls the world. Klaus Schwab and George Soros are the ones that basically control most everything that happens in the United States.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, but again, like I said, God's on the throne. He's in complete control. There's a resistance. So look, you know, we're still here. And again, people see there's things that we understand, but the problem with, it seems like, with the conservative movement is they don't learn to walk in lockstep like the Democrats do. They're in lockstep. Now, we know for a fact that what we must do is start on the local level. You build something from the ground up, and that's county. We know that what we must do is we must get control of our counties, our county government, our county sheriffs, and the county sheriff has the ability to keep, to form your deputies, and you can have your militias, and you can keep the feds out. The feds have been weaponized against us.
Right.
And that's where... And of all the counties, remember, you know, when I was down there at Liberty University and I spoke to all those county sheriffs, and they were there to find out, you know, how to do that. And right. That's where we really should be working on in that area. We really have the to get, yeah, the local
level. But
yeah,
tell me, when you've heard a Republican talk about George Soros, talk about his organizations, talk about all the dark money he raises through his different pyramid of organizations, they don't talk about it. They don't talk about the attorney generals. They don't talk about all the candidates he's backed. They don't talk about all these secret little groups that are around everywhere. And part of it is, as long as Soros isn't the headlines of the news every week, nobody thinks about him. Nobody pays any attention. So it's not just the media. The powerful Republicans that should be talking about this, warning about this, aren't doing it, Pastor.
Yeah, you're absolutely. That's what we said earlier. You know, that's exactly what we were talking about. McConnell's not. He's a rhino. You have a few. Again, you have Rand Paul. You have Ted Cruz. You have say, Marsha Blackburn and a few others, but the vast majority of those senators are, you know...
They can't bark.
Right.
They're worthless.
Yeah. And that's the problem that we have today. All right, phone lines are open at 888. We're going to take some fast calls because we don't have much time. So 888-677-9673. And we got Cliff already. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, what's up? You know, I was listening to a show on BAI, and there was a woman, you know, doctor that was talking about, she was just talking about this supplement, L-arginine, the whole hour. They were doing a fundraising, but she was saying it's important to prevent diabetes, but she also mentioned it is if you have the COVID, after, you know, and you have long symptoms, that would be the number one thing she's giving people. But people can study that supplement on Google Scholar. There's a lot of, you know, also I'd like to go to Jeremiah relating to the study, two verses, chapter 18, verses 10 and 14. Once positive, verse 10, it's talking about the Lord having benefits for you, if he's going to bless you, that word benefit. But also verse 14 is talking about cold flowing waters from another place, which you bring up Soros. He doesn't see a source from another place as being from the Lord. He sees him as the source. But in a precatory prayer, I would say against him is cut off the sourcing from him, cut him off. But what do you think of those two verses?
Verses, where did you say, 14?
Yeah, chapter 18, Jeremiah, yeah. 10 and 14.
Okay, verse 10, let me get there. Boom. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. And wherewith said I? I said, I would benefit them. And now he
says,
all right, so here he goes on to say, well, let's you got to read some verses here together to get this.
Okay.
Now, therefore, go back to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord God, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imaginable and the imagination of his evil heart. Well, boy, this sounds like America here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask you now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Why will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place to be forsaken? Well, here he's talking about, you know, like today our society admires assertiveness. It likes independence, right? And what is that? You know, people aren't going to, we're not going to have to listen to this God thing. Remember, I spoke earlier, even at the Tea Party meeting, when I first took as president, you know, we don't want to turn this into a church service. Well, you know, there seems to be this little pushback against God. And all of the media out there today, there's a huge pushback against God. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, you know, those stubbornness, self-importance, and, you know, this refusal to listen or to change. You know, God's calling you to do what? Over in Proverbs 1, he keeps telling you to repent, and they're not paying attention. This is where he called the simple-minded here. So what Jeremiah was doing there, he was challenging the people's social and moral behavior. And Jeremiah wasn't afraid at all of unpopular criticism. And that's the way you have to be. So that's what he's talking about there.
Right, so. Right. So they don't... So people are seeing, you know, that imagery of water flowing from another place as a source. They don't... see that as from God. They just see that they're their own, you know, they're doing their own profession strictly, you know.
Yeah. That's again, it's rebellion. Got to move on, though. Okay.
Attorney Joe.
Okay, Attorney Joe. We got Attorney Joe in the air. Hey, Joe.
Pastor Sanders, are you
yes,
still
sir.
Around? We thought they had graduated you to the other place.
Well, I'm not as round as I used to be, but I'm still... I'm still around, yeah.
You're okay.
No, I haven't. Yeah, and how about you?
Well, Pastor, it's been a hard 6 months, Pastor. I had warned people. I said, can we talk a little bit about law? Is that all right? Talk about Roe and Doe and Dobbs and everything.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I had thought that we were going to have some problems with Roe and Doe being overturned. And I had thought this may actually increase our work, not decrease it. Well, Pastor, I was really not ready for almost a violent kind of revulsion from people who claim to be progressive and willing to listen to others and to debate issues on the merits of the issues. And we got this whole pouring out. I don't want to say that these were women, because I worried or wondered. They seem to have dropped any kind of a pretense of what we consider virtues and the feminine mystique. And instead, we got people really just pouring out their hatred against the judges, the justices, against anyone who wanted to talk about the unborn child, or talk about alternatives to abortion, or talk about pregnancy health centers. And it's been a real struggle. I mean, I can't believe how some people have reacted. They're no longer pro-choice, whatever that meant. They're pro-abortion. They actually want these babies to be dead. I keep trying to figure out, well, why is that? And I've come up with a couple of answers. There are those people who are so deeply embedded in the abortion culture and themselves have participated in that to such an extent that they could never, you know, turn on the brakes and go back to something that was sane. So anybody that really is trying to protect the unborn child is not seen as somebody who is just misguided or naive or anything like that or too good to be true. We're seen as somebody that actually we're supposed to be evil, and that we're going to practice this evil against poor women whose only desire in life is to have an abortion. So
well, you've heard them. You've heard them speaking out. You've heard these people, the wickedness, they're wicked to the bone. Whoopi Cushion Goldberg, how she brags about how many babies she's killed, okay? Talking about referring to them as killing those things. You got Chelsea Clinton out there saying how abortion is good for the economy. You got that Chelsea at the... What was the name? The one from the Fed coming out and saying we Chelsea, yeah, we need more abortion. No, the one from the Federal Reserve.
Yellen?
Yellen, yeah. She's been out saying abortion is good for the economy. We need more of it, more abortion. Okay. You've got Austin and Millie saying that it's a part of in the military, it's a part of our strategy is to women that get pregnant, but, you know, whoring's permitted. To go a whoring and get pregnant out of wedlock is all right. That's encouraged, but not to have the baby, but to kill a baby. These people are wicked to the bone. This is the Antichrist system. I mean, it's pure evil.
Have you heard the one motto? I saw it on a early protest sign from that side. Eat my fetus.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Have you seen that? I mean, you talk about cannibalism. I thought, you know, that was just something that was way long ago and evil. We're through with it. No, I mean, these people are really perverted and distorted. So what does that mean? I mean, I can go on.
That means we're exactly where the Bible says we would be. This is called the days, the times of sorrows. And you'll find that the answer to that if you read Matthew chapter 24. But, you know, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, Romans 1, we're exactly there. We're in this time. We're living it real time. The Antichrist is about to come. Satan knows his time is short. So the wicked are becoming more and more wicked. The righteous will become more and more righteous.
And Ben, so, what? How should we respond to that? You know, I was always interested in Marilyn Monroe, and I read some history about her. You know, she's supposed to have had 13 abortions.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, recently they put out some kind of movie, and the movie is not pro-abortion enough about Marilyn. So the people are attacking it for not being enough in favor of abortion, but having her asking questions about this and about being misused by men. So,
yeah.
Like I said, it's this horrible kind of turnaround. So, number one, though, I think we should understand that ever more is needed in terms of trying to love your enemy. You know, that's very hard to say, very hard to do, and many people may say that and not really realize how much that means. You know, you have to pray for your enemy. And
here's what it means, Joe. You got to. I'm out of time, but to make it very short here. If you love people, yeah. If you love people, you want to keep them out of hell, no matter how wicked. So you tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. You got to tell them what they need to hear. You need to tell them that they need to repent, or they're going to burn in hell. But I'm out of time. So, and with that, folks, you know where we get to every night at this time, the most important part, the reality, all of these things that we're seeing, the signs. By the way, you know, there's been a big uptick in earthquakes around the world, too. You're not seeing, nobody's telling you about this, but these things are...
27 of them.
Yeah, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But all of these are signs, okay, of the end times. Everything you're seeing out there is a sign of the soon return of the Lord Jesus. And so, folks, again, that could happen anytime. But I can tell you this, too. Tonight, all over this world, hundreds and thousands of people are going to perish. They're going to die tonight. And it's not a tragedy to die, because that's going to happen to everybody. The tragedy is that they're going to die in their sin when they don't have to. And, you know, for years and years and years, we've been on here telling you, God's Word is the most accurate information you'll ever receive. God's Word cannot fail. It cannot be broken. It cannot fail. You know, God, everything God says He would do, He's either done, and we're talking about, you know, prophecies thousands of years in advance, or is in the process of doing, or will do. And you can count on that. And when I say you can bet your life on, because literally you are. You are going to die out there. And you're either going to, when that happens, it's appointed all men once to die, then the judgment. If you're saved, if you have repented of your sin, if you've called to the Father, you prayed to the Father, asked for forgiveness of your sins, you called and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, then you will become born again and you will end up in glory. If you have not done that, if you fail to repent, it's this simple, folks. You're going to end up in hell. And that, it doesn't get any worse than that. Now, we're out of time for tonight. So, as we say, good night. God bless. And
God
always,
bless.
always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.